Through this. You guys hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go ahead and pick this one. Oh, man. All right. Oof. Let's go ahead and get this show on the road. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. This is PSX. Until Jerry's return, I think it'll be next week or the week after. I can't remember. Is when we expect him to come back. Hopefully by then we'll be back to business as usual. This morning, co-hosting with me is Ness Force, whom for many of our followers will see him more often.
All right. Quick disclaimer. This podcast should not be considered financial advice. The contents of this broadcast here and or on any other platforms are for educational and entertainment purposes only, inside our own personal opinions. In order to make the best financial decision that suits your needs, please conduct your own research and seek the advice from a licensed financial advisor if necessary.
Our guest today is the co-founder of Interchain Info with the sole purpose to educate and onboard newcomers to blockchain and or Cosmos specifically. For many of us, it's the wiki of Web3. My dear friends, please welcome Tendermint Timmy. Good morning, buddy. How you doing? You get enough to eat?
Doing well, yeah. Pleasure to be on. Nice and early for me. I kind of like you guys' philosophy a little bit. You get them right in the morning when brain's still waking up, and there's some interesting combo to be had there. So doing well.
Good. Did you get your coffee or no? Are you still working on that?
I have not, actually. I try and not do caffeine on weekends just to kind of keep the balance there. And yeah.
I'm a caffeinated kind of guy. I'm kind of shocked. It's like, what are you talking about? Wait a minute.
I'll probably end up getting something later, but no, I'm a
okay. Last time we were talking, I think we caught you at a bad time or something like that. You were like, I think your metabolism was kicking the high gear where you were starving yourself to death. I don't know if we could tell that you were turning pale or you needed food, but we could tell.
Yeah.
That
I think we were talking at maybe like 5 or 6 p.m. my time, and the last meal I had was breakfast at like 6 a.m. So by the end of call, I was like, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, what was it? I was listening to one of your earlier spaces. I can't remember what it was, but it.
Chain chat, maybe?
It could be. No, I don't think it was Chain Chat. It was, let's just say that it got me curious as far as, what your beef was with the Medium article. I want to start there. Normally we go more personable, but we'll get to that later. But I'm kind of curious what your beef is with the Medium article. Like, I vaguely remember that. What was it like? For whatever rhyme or reason, developers chose Web Medium article as the go-to to write their. I don't know if white paper or articles, so that way communities can get involved and read and debate amongst each other.
Are you talking about a specific Medium article or my views on Medium in general?
And view a Medium in general.
Okay. Yeah, I totally know what you're asking. Yeah. So what I keep trying to illustrate there is, so Medium is a good platform. It provides a good service. It's good at what it does. But what it doesn't do, nobody is using Medium like another social media in that they're just stumbling across stuff. I would bet, and I've tested this and been in some, teams that use Medium, so I actually have some insight. Like 90 to 95% of views on a Medium article, which is usually not that many even for large projects, come from you know, different tracking things call it different things, but outside referral links. So like someone linking to it on Twitter or their website, which sort of begs the question, why is it on Medium? Like if people are only finding it elsewhere and going there, in theory, it could be anywhere, right? So what we're trying to do with ICI is it has all of the sort of tools and abilities Medium has in that just it, a blogging platform, right? But because of the rest of the site and the way it's laid out and the way that it plays into the index, the other half of Interchain Info, there's actually a high probability, and we see this in our metrics, that people who might just be looking at the wiki page for, say, Osmosis might actually then see an article beneath it related and just click on it without having like sought that out particularly, right? Whereas no one's just on Medium booting it up in the morning seeing what's new. I'm sure there are a few people, but like do either of you use Medium that way?
No, I don't.
Yeah,
I also do not.
Medium. Yeah, sorry Ness, my bad.
It's all good, man. Yeah, I was just saying I also do not use Medium, so
yeah the thought was just Medium's good because it's a platform to house blogs. That's easy enough to mimic it. And if we can match that with other things, it just makes it more of a just more helpful for conversions and reaching new users, really, right? Because so like even if you're an established project, again, your Medium articles are pretty much only going to be read by your followers because you're going to post a link on Twitter. That's what's going to be clicked on or other places, your Discord, Telegram, etc. And your existing followers are going to find it. But for us, someone might just be looking through the one of the categories you're in or looking into the ecosystem that you're in, like or multiple, and just stumble across an article here or there or a brand new project out of nowhere. Right. So that's sort of the high level goal of Interchain Info / why we think it's a better place than Medium for Web3 in particular.
So another way of looking at it is that ICI would be trying to standardize specifically Web3, not like what Medium, where it's just a general blast of intellectual thinking, but just for specifically Web3. And it doesn't mean Cosmos exclusively, but blockchain. Is that correct? Or
oh, yep. Okay. You know, we would totally accept even news pieces on the regulatory side of crypto, on the okay, you know, like anything Web3 related, totally. Right. We are very Cosmos focused for now, but
right. But you know, financial. I mean, Web3 is a financial product. You know, which is one of the big characteristics. So it would make sense that you would need to keep up with the political climate. You know, at the federal, state, and local level. You know, the banking systems. Would that not make sense?
No, absolutely. Well, like not specific to Web3, but just general financial stuff. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you know, I don't think we'd be inherently opposed. We'd have to see if it came across exactly. But I totally agree with that general train of thinking that something that might affect the TradFi financial market may certainly have impacts on crypto and therefore be relevant, even if it's not directly related.
Because I could almost argue, not trying to tell you what to do, so just an idea, but I can almost argue that if Web3 or crypto in general is being affected by regulatory environments or regulatory lawmakers and other financial, like SEC, who's the other one? The commodity, I can't remember. Anyways, it's the one of the other alphabet.
Yeah.
I can't even keep up with these acronyms. It drives me crazy. You know, it would make sense to at least house that information to help keep up with the ever-changing bureaucracy BS that we see in the media. So that way it would also help those in the Web3 communities to make, to kind of, you know, come to their own conclusion with, you know, avoiding like other third-party I don't know how to organize my thoughts on this one without too much noise clouding their judgment, as you would say. And then the other benefit would be that would be to expose those in TradFi to DeFi products and services.
Yep.
So I see it as a win-win. It's like, dude, we get to keep up, we get to expose others. ICI becomes like the standardized go-to Web3 for blockchain information and what projects are doing, keeping on a date. But I am more curious, is like before ICI, like where was Timmy? What was Timmy doing? Because every time I think of Timmy, because I was watching South Park and I was thinking like, Timmy.
You're not alone.
Okay, sorry. I was like, oh, he's going to hate me if I do this.
Nah. Good question. Yeah. So right before ICI, I was doing another Cosmos project called Spark. Still kind of a thing. I very much want to get back to it one day when I have some more funding and a bit of a larger team coming from ICI. I'm not big on the whole VC side of things. I like to try and do stuff grassroots as much as possible. But that was maybe only for like a year or so. So I had kind of joined Cosmos community-wise around the time IBC went live. Community-wise just meaning made this Twitter account, started chatting with people, getting to know. I had bought Atom like the second it was added to Coin Binance without even doing any research, just because I saw that they added it without charging them a listing fee, and Binance had never done that before. So I remembered thinking, oh, they're probably going to be building on this tech, like they're going to be building on Cosmos, that's why they didn't pay. So I just bought a shitload of it. Turned out I was kind of right. I mean, BNB chain isn't IBC connected, but right prior to this was doing Spark, and then just sort of average user on Twitter for Cosmos. Prior to that, though, I started in Web3 very long ago, back when my motives for getting into it required me to use Tor, let's just say. I remember mining Dogecoin like in the first week of it being live on a laptop that the worst laptop ever. It was one of my friends, and we just constantly joked. It would lag trying to watch a YouTube video or load a page. But you're generating, you know, like thousands of Dogecoin every like hour because of the difficulty and everything. And I have a hard drive in my closet that I think has stuff on it from it, but it's destroyed anyways. And so aside from that, I actually got into crypto on the academic side, weirdly. I wrote a paper on blockchain in college shortly after Ethereum's launch. And I was just a nobody. I did it for an assignment, but I did it for this because I found Web3 interesting. And that was sort of the starting point of me realizing like how much more there is to this than, you know, the little use cases I had done with it prior. And then, yeah, just now that paper is actually like quoted in white papers, like protocols that are in the top 100 and stuff. It's kind of weird.
I am curious what your professors thoughts were on your paper. I mean, looking back, even I think academic college professors tend to, they're usually stuck in their own bubble, in my opinion. And I wonder if he was able to read the paper. I wonder like what questions, like is Timmy nuts? Does he know what he's talking about? Or is the professors stupid, or not stupid, but maybe ignorant and not able to see the bigger picture and the applications that, you know, 5 or 10 years down the road, like would have, and the effect that it would have on the global economy? Like, is he able to see that? Like, was there a tug and war on what it was the paper was specifically about regarding?
I do remember there was actually sort of a special conversation and exception. Like, it was outside the parameters of what the assignment was supposed to be a little bit, and so I had to argue for it. I didn't get too much pushback on submission or anything, though, and I think that's because it was not a paper focused on the finance side whatsoever. I was breaking down how like hashing worked and consensus, and going over, at the time there was like 12 different proof of methods that were potential. Like there's proof of mining for Bitcoin or mining. Then there's like proof of authority, proof of storage, proof of, there was all these things. So I was kind of going through them, breaking them down, talking about colored coin on Bitcoin, which is an idea of how to kind of bring smart contracts to Bitcoin back in the day. So I think it might have helped with my professor's reception that I wasn't writing it from the angle of like, here's my financial thesis on investing in this. You know, it was a bit more on the technical side. So that probably saved my skin a little bit.
More. Okay. So it's definitely more on the back end side, not so much at the front end or dealing with the customers directly.
Say again.
So it was more definitely more on the back end side.
Yeah. Yeah. It was more so it's the type of paper. It explains why I think it's been cited in like larger papers by people much bigger than me, because it was just a foundational low level, like breaking down some of the philosophy and as well as the technicals behind blockchain.
I worry a lot because I know Ness and I have been like have been in multiple spaces you know throughout the crypto Web3 communities, and I worry that even here in on the blockchain communities throughout whichever project we're a part of, that we end up getting stuck in our own bubble. I wanted to get your view on that, or echo chamber.
I'd ask you to elaborate a little more if you want anything more than yes, yeah. People get stuck in their bubbles. Oh yeah.
Because as of lately, because we've had some conversations with other developers, and project managers where real world assets is just where it feels like real world assets is just now becoming part of the conversation within Web3. And it was something that I was already conjuring about a year or two ago on that. And I knew I wasn't the only person. Like there had to be somebody else, but it was definitely refreshing to see that other people were thinking about it. But the overall arching echo chamber is NFTs, win moon, win Lambo, you know, win airdrop.
Yep.
I start to worry, you know, if the whole idea is decentralization, do we have a bunch of decentralizations of community members who are nothing but degens? What gives me the impressions, and it isn't, there's nothing wrong with them. Like they play a really good role as far as how they promote, how they get others involved, they make things fun. I get that. I'm not downplaying it, but it feels like a rinse, wash, repeat. Where Web3 is getting to a point quickly where there's no real progress and innovations. It's just somebody's taking a novel idea, reapplying it to a different blockchain and just go for it. But not really playing the game where are you able to solve a real world issue to provide a real use case? And that's where I wanted to get your thoughts on that specifically. And then if you can expand on that, if you can.
Yeah, sorry, I lost the specific question there, just to how I think real world assets have potential or are evolving. Is that kind of?
Mm-hmm.
I agree with most of everything you said there. I find it interesting. It's taken this long for the conversation to get here. I think it's still only the seeds of it. Like, for example, on our last episode of Chain Chat that Interchain Info hosts, we had Yelena on from Noble. They're like the real world asset chain. And one thing that got brought up is like, you know, most talk of real world assets so far in Web3 have been around financial derivatives, things like bringing treasury bills on chain, or I forget some of the examples she put, but obviously stable coins, right? Fiat on chain. But I'm more interested, not necessarily bullish, because I actually think it's such a shift. I'm not going to pretend I can predict whether it'll be net positive or negative, but it'll be interesting to see when there's an actual uptick, like, you know, even 5% adoption worldwide would be enough to really see how it's going. Of real world assets in the sense of like the deed to my house is an NFT that I own. the thing that verifies, I guess, kind of like my insurance policy slash card for health insurance or something like that would be an NFT. So I think we're moving in that direction, at least experimentally. I don't think like the whole industry is moving there, because again, I don't know if it makes sense for everything. But I'm really interested for that next step of real world assets, and particularly because it will bring in a bit of utility and use case into Web3 that, I mean, everything's tied to money and finance in our modern day world, even if there was, even in, you know, socialist communist countries, it's all about money, but a little bit less so directly tied to finance than the rest of crypto. For example, like Chainlink has been teasing and talking about my first example there for a while, like having the deed for your house on chain, verifiable and like transferable by through the Chainlink network, because it can talk to off-chain data. Chainlink, that's its whole thing, right? It could talk to Zeely or someone like Zeely or a real estate market would be running a Chainlink node saying, yep, this house is that deed is valid, blah, blah, blah. And many people confirm it, including you, the holder. Yeah, and I don't know how to elaborate past that, because I think it is such a unexplored area that I don't know what'll happen. But just in that being like, no one's going to trade that NFT like they do other NFTs, right? That's
right.
It is just a deed. It is just using blockchain and in the form of an NFT for the utility, not because it is in any way similar to any other NFT or token that exists right now.
Right. I mean, a deed is just a legal documentation. It's not. It's only worth.
Right. It's not the house. Like.
Yeah. It's just a legal. It's a legal documentation of ownership and what the criteria are. Excuse me. And I mean, is there a possible chance? I mean, because what was it? Because it's really it's the title that you would want. And then it all depends. And I'm wondering, like, how do you get these? How do you automate such a process that complies with certain state and local regulatory environments, such as like a more asset at this scale? And that'll be a curious thing to see where that goes, if at all possible.
Exact same thoughts. I think it'll be very difficult, might not work out. But if it does, I think one of the potential ways that it will work out is cross-border standardization of these things.
What do you mean by cross-border?
So, like, your...
Like, I think I know what you're talking about. I mean, sounds pretty self-explanatory, but...
I'm trying to keep it the house analogy, but obviously a house isn't a stationary place. But just right. In that, like, the regulatory laws and all this that govern, like, how deeds work, similar to something like the EU or NATO or these kinds of things, like they're for other purposes, NATO, you know, EU trading military. But like, I think one of the most likely situations is there will be a sort of conglomerate of nations that starts and says, like, for these various industries, maybe insurance, retail, XYZ, here are the sort of new parameters for them as they pertain to everyone opting into the system, all countries. And the way that we enforce it across borders and ensure that, like, no country is gaming the system or something, since countries have a shitload of power, governments, you know, like if you think black hat hackers are something to worry about, we're going to tap into Web3 tech to do that. Like, we'll run this on something like Chainlink or maybe our own blockchain. They might start their own, honestly, but just the idea that using Web3 tech to make some of these things that are currently just not standardized across countries, partly because there's no reason to, another part because it's difficult, both of those somewhat getting alleviated with crypto. Like, I would love if I'm trying to think of how the house deed works. I mean, I guess it'd be cool if, you know, I own a house in America, let's say. I have the deed for it as an NFT. I completely renounce my U.S. citizenship or just become a Canadian citizen, let's say. They're in on this theoretical program I'm talking about. And you're able to maintain ownership of that house or sell it or do whatever from Canada in the same capacity you could as a U.S. citizen, which you kind of already can do. I know. Again, I'm trying to stick with this analogy, but I think that illustrates my point. Yeah.
Right. And a house deed is, to simply put, a house deed, the way you look at a house deed is it's nothing more than just a receipt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So wouldn't that be great if government stepped forward and actually gave crypto some regulatory framework? I think we're dreaming a little bit when we talk about that, because that's one of the biggest issues in crypto right now is no one knows, particularly in the US, with how the SEC is functioning right now, no one has a guideline as to how to be legitimate, right? So tokenizing real world assets is putting everyone in a position where they basically just have to try it and see what happens. They may or may not end up in court. And,
As far as I know, like 90% of the airdrops, for example, that have been geo-blocked in the US and elsewhere, it's been out of an abundance of caution. Nobody has actually said outright, like, you can't do this. And that, again, just comes from lack of any clear guidance.
Yeah, I need to talk to Rebel from TFM, because I got blocked.
I will, though, not a sponsor, not paid in any capacity. I just care about people's freedom and safety. They don't even do sponsorships. That's another reason I love them. Mulvad VPN, the only VPN you should be using.
Oh, I'll have to make a note of that. So Surfshark is a no-go, right?
No identifiable info. Don't need to give your name or an email or anything. Generates you an account with a unique code. Just save that kind of like a seed phrase. $5 a month flat, paying crypto, pay as much as you want up front. Have never been geo-blocked by anything if you know how to use it. Mulvad's great.
Oh, I'm sure I'll figure it out. But going back to the regulatory conversation that we were just having, wouldn't it be more productive if those within the crypto or devs start taking a more proactive approach to start at the local level of government and stop trying to fight the federal level or having the conversation at the federal level, if at all?
Very funny you bring that up. Just unrelated to crypto, last night, one of my good buddies and I had the conversation. He just asked me, as an extension of some other convo we were having, like, what are your thoughts on state versus federal level control and such? I think, like, starting at the state, or even, I mean, there's not much you can do at a level lower than the state, but absolutely. I think, like, if New York, for example, Cosmos Joe, DeFi, buddy of mine, everyone knows him in New York. Insane what kind of regulations are there. There's like two exchanges you can use, and they're the worst ones. Like,
which one are they? I'm curious.
Say again.
Which exchanges?
One I'd never even heard of before. I think it's something that got spun up like for New York because it specifically followed the guidance. And then I think Gemini's the other.
Gemini, really? That's funny.
I think either but Coinbase not funny enough.
Yeah.
Or no, Coinbase. So the Coinbase, you need to get an enterprise account. You can't get individual Coinbase accounts in New York. That's what it is.
Oh, wow. That's stupid. We've got Mexi Global here in Texas, Kraken, Coinbase, pretty much all the primary ones. And then a few other ones that I haven't even heard of that were able to operate here in Texas. But now that you said New York, I know the team and I have been paying attention pretty closely to what's been going on in New York, and it's been, I would say it feels, and this is my opinion, I don't speak for the team as a whole, but just it feels very communistic in so many different ways. And I'm going to put that very, very bluntly. And I worry about those who are in this space or any other financial space and interacting with it, given that, you know, we've been paying very close attention, despite who or what you think of him. The case against Trump, where there was no victim in the case, in the fraud case, it was a summary judgment. I don't know what kind of precedent that has going forward if the DA was to move forward and to confiscate his properties. I mean, what is that? Does that provide more of an argument for crypto?
Maybe.
Because it's self-custodian. It's like, what are you going to do? I mean, the only way you're going to do that is put a gun to somebody's head and force out the seed phrases.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, well, that or the average person is so like tech illiterate that if you're someone with resources, let's say the CIA or government or something, you can easily get a key logger in there. You can get into their wallet like easy for sure.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So cold storage
to the average person, like the average person will just click on a random link there, send, you know, I think people underestimate just how much both insight and technological advancements governments have in terms of like tech and such. You know, I don't think they are necessarily compromising any blockchain in that sense, but if they really, really wanted to get into an average user's wallet, right? Not even someone like me, I wouldn't even consider an average user. I kind of know what I'm doing. They could get in if they tried. I'm no fucking hacking wizard. But for just many of my friends or family who've gotten into crypto, without a doubt, it would be easy. My mom doesn't even have a password on her computer. She's like, oh, who cares? Who's going to try and get onto it? It's like, okay, well, now you own a bunch of crypto because of me, so maybe put one on. Like,
does she know what 2FA is, at least?
Yes, yeah. Okay. I make sure that everyone, all my boomer family and such, at least is doing 2FA for sure. But you brought up something a second ago. I'd love to pick your brain on just hardware wallet.
Okay. Ledger. I'm getting off of Ledger looking for something else after what had.
What happens if you lose your Ledger?
Do what?
What happens if you lose your Ledger?
Well, apparently they you can still recover the C phrase. I'm a little torn with the idea of them providing a service where they can get a backup, because I'm still stuck in that. my mind is still stuck in the traditional way of, oh God, the traditional way of housing your seed phrases, where, you know, originally Ledger didn't house them, but now that they do, now they provide, now which gives it a source of a point of attack.
Yeah,
and that's where I'm kind of torn. It's like, I get why you're doing that, because I mean, like, the general audience or the general public, the average consumer, I mean, it's not that they're lazy, it's just that the overall consumer behavior doesn't want to take the extra time to do the extra work to house security. That's why they pay others with trust, and it makes sense. So it's
I actually think the average person should have a hardware wallet. I just think if you become a big player, you should not use it to secure any large amounts of funds. What you should be using it for is 2FA for like your day-to-day transactions. So like, right, I would have a cold storage some wallet where all my mass amount of funds are, and then let's say I want to interact with a new DeFi app I haven't done before, I'd send some funds over to my hardware wallet and do it from there. But like, just the fact that with a hardware wallet, you either lose it and everything in there is gone forever, which is awful, or there is some way that is not the case, which is also awful, because it defeats the purpose of like crypto at its core and having self-custody, right? I think the way Ledger does it is they have like different companies or groups of people or something that each hold like fragments of your seed phrase, and so they're like, no one person knows it, no one entity even knows it, and like, if that's even true, which I do believe, I don't think Ledger's nefarious, that's still not really my pain point. It's that, like, especially with AI and everything now, and again, just like basic level hacking, I imagine it would be pretty easy to hit up Ledger and convince them that you're me, right? Like, yeah, I don't know. I'm getting some thumbs down from Jets, though. Actually, interesting.
Yeah, I no comment. the I think maybe it is a good thing that Ledger is doing that, because I mean there's other Ledger wallets. I don't know how good they are, or not that it even matters at this point, because it's been like at least 10 years since we've had so many choices that we have now, where there's cold storage of manufacturers that don't store this type of data on a secured, I'm doing that with quotes in my up in the air. Where if Ledger isn't the place for me to be, then I can just move over to this one. If it is a service that Ledger is providing, then it's like, hey, I can still stay with Ledger. I still take on the risk of just keeping my own seed phrases. I think I'm saying that right.
Yeah. Yep. No, that's right. Like I have weird views on hardware wallets, and they're very nuanced. So that's why I don't try and like talk about them in typing. Cause like, for example, me saying I don't really trust hardware wallets and see these faults, usually in that same tweet with the character limit, I can't put in like, but for the average user, especially new people, it's definitely going to be better than not having one. And even for large people using it for day-to-day, blah, blah, blah. It's like, it's a nuanced thing to me, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, but even without these, yeah, no, absolutely. I agree. And then, even without Ledger's, ability to provide these services, there's still a point of attack, which is the ownership. You know, like we all get scammed, you know, that's in itself an attack. We all get, you know, we all end up doing something stupid. I mean, I've been in the space and I can't count how many times I've been scammed, you know, and I'm learning as I go. And unfortunately, it's cost me a lot. You know, but I'm still learning from it. Does it hurt? Oh my God, yeah, absolutely. But it's, if anything, it's taught me to keep my eye out on what to look for. And I think, yeah, I mean, that's my argument, is I'm still a point of attack.
Yep. No, totally fair. Don't disagree at all.
Yeah. Going into Interchain, is that something that you're considered? Because that's surprisingly one thing I didn't see was like any types of hardware, a list of hardware wallets, cold storage wallets. You know, is that something you'd consider or haven't considered at all yet?
As soon as someone submits a page for them, yeah, it'll be live. But again, Interchain Info is a wiki platform where other people submit content. We do create some at times for stuff like I do as Timmy, like as if I'm just a user of Interchain Info. There are projects I think are cool and interesting. I want to do a deep dive on them anyways. So sometimes I will turn that into an ICI like index page or article to help other people learn about it. But in general, we aren't like we don't have a list of like, oh, we're maintaining these categories. We are or aren't adding these things. I think there's a page for like Ledger maybe, but not anything else, not Trezor or Keystone. But yeah, no, someone just needs to submit those pages and they'll be there live. Honestly, if that, because those are kind of central things, that's something I probably will do soon here if other people don't, just because some of those core types of things I like to make sure are included.
Yeah. Do you not worry that at some point down in the future that there's going to be some information modification to a point where it's just blatant manipulations? Not to say that there's intentional lying going on, but the misinformation Wikipedia has been caught in a multitude of information that I don't want to say that it's misinformation that may not be the correct, but just blatant inaccuracies, almost premeditated.
Yeah. We're doing things to try and mitigate that. Realistically, that is always going to be a problem in all aspects of human life, so long as humans are the way they are. Like,
yeah,
we do have a couple things. So, for example, it's not super directly open. If you submit an edit as just an anon user or a new page, we do review it first. Again, we're not saying we're signing off on it, though. So, again, it's not like We're just reviewing it for basic stuff, making sure you're not editing someone else's article with a phishing link, posting something just with inaccurate metrics. Then beyond that, projects can verify their page, which lets them also manage it. So they could, like, you know, without our intervention, make sure things are accurate there. And then should the project be malicious, part of verification is submitting some transparency info to us, which pretty soon here, when you hover over that gray check on Interchain Info, it'll have a little pop-up that shows you some basic metrics with like a read more link. Just so like you could see if team members are doxxed, when the project was founded, founder allocation, certain kind of low level things. And again, I want to make it clear, we're in no way saying that Interchain Info is like 100% secure and safe, and like anything you read on there, always do your own research from multiple sources, especially with an open platform. But we've thought about this from the beginning, and we're taking a couple steps to try and mitigate it for sure.
No, I mean, I appreciate it. I'm going to link Interchain Info's here and nested. So for anybody who wants to check it out, I'll have it nested here momentarily. And then just a quick disclaimer, like this is not an endorsement of it, but this is more definitely about Interchain, but more importantly, this is about Timmy. You know, 5 years down the line, where do you see this going? There's so much information that you're housing, and over time, I can only imagine that you're trying to figure out how do you reorganize this information. Plus, how do you get more people involved? I mean, already, let's start from the beginning. Like, how many people are currently interacting with your site, like, impression-wise?
Yeah. So I can give you an average, but let me also just look. So for the past couple, ever since basically like this sort of bull cycle started again, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, I don't know, something like that. Our traffic kind of exploded for like a month, and then has been on a slower but steady kind of drive up since then. Got a page loading right now. So in the last 30 days, we've had 48,000 unique visitors with, let's see. Oh, that doesn't show me that. So that's just like unique IPs that visited the site, right? We don't have a lot of cookies like implemented. We actually have like literally only one. So we have very kind of rough high level data, meaning the numbers are probably higher. But we've gotten as much as like 68,000, I think, was our peak in 1 month, unique users. And it's been fluctuating between like 40 and 55, trending up for the past couple months. So we definitely have people interested, end users. I think the issue is we have not done a great job communicating. I mean, we've tried. I just don't like being shilling, like a shilly type person, always shouting out metrics. But I think the next big step.
No, chill, man.
Like, I do an intent. We make posts and stuff, just a metric. But our next big goal is getting projects to realize, A, how easy it is to use Interchain Info at a basic level, and B, how with that ease of use, you're able to, in some capacity, instantly tap into like tens of thousands of people per month. Now, they're not all going to see your page, but there's a chance, right? And then if you get verified, much better chance. If you create content as well as just the wiki page, chances increase exponentially. So Interchain Info, our next step is to get people to realize it is free and cheap marketing, and not just teams, but communities. You just bought like a new small NFT collection or a new small DeFi coin project. It is in your best interest to make sure that thing pumps too. Why don't you go update their wiki page or create some content? Like, this is why I started ICI, because this is something I did under a different alias, is I really loved projects. I just, similar to that academic paper, I would do like deep dive YouTube videos on them. And part of me was like doing it because I loved the academic side of it, such as the paper. But another was like, I'm holding this coin. Like, I want it to go up. I want to contribute to it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, I mean, I can only imagine like the NFT communities, because I mean, or the meme communities. I mean, because those degens, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I've degened in a few projects, but just seeing the energy within the specific, these, you know, more like Pepe. I mean, those guys, I mean, yeah. they're fucking animals. I mean,
don't go wrong. So NFTs, definitely. The interesting thing with meme coins and Interchain, though, is you have to remember for every Dogworth hat, every Pepe or whatever, there's 10,000 that die within 2 days. So I think a lot of communities, even if they're aping into a meme coin, wouldn't even think to make an index page for it because part of their mind already knows, like, this might be gone in a week. so that one's actually, and we've thought about that too. It's like, actually, we've kind of just for fun played around with, what do you think is the level that a meme coin gets to where it's somewhat cemented as going to be around for a while. And, you know, by extension, someone might care to add a page on ICI for it. I don't know. Actually, just fun question for both of you guys. What market cap changes a shit coin into a meme coin?
10 million.
See, I disagree with that. It depends on the tokenomics because you could get a 10 million market cap.
True.
And have a really huge supply with a very small amount of liquidity backing it. So it depends on the liquidity to token ratio. And I would say it has to get into the top 100 at some point. So we're talking closer to $1 billion legitimate cap, not just, okay, we made, you know, 90% of the coins aren't even in circulation. So there's 200 grand in liquidity backing this. So now we have a $5 million cap or whatever. You got to look out for that stuff. And obviously that's a telltale sign of a bad project is the tokenomics. But for me, yeah, it has to get into the top 100, at least at some point and maintain in the, you know, pretty close to that, I'd say the top 250 afterwards, or it will die. Cause as we know, probably about 90 to 95% of projects do die in crypto. And meme coins are by far have the worst ratio when it comes to that.
Okay. You know what? Yep. There was a lot of nuance in fucking Ness is always the more analytical one. I simplify the shit out of it. I just went 10 million and Ness Forces goes full off. Thanks, buddy. All right. So let's start from the beginning. What are the parameters and definitions for a shitcoin? All right. Tendermint, and then go Ness Force after him. Yeah.
Oh, God, I've never like had to put that into words. You just kind of know one when you see one.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's inherently a meme.
Yeah,
let's do a team or roadmap.
Yeah, let's standardize the conversation a little bit because
no formalized team, no roadmap, name most likely playing on a meme or an animal. Those are some of the three green flags. I'd say if it has all three of those, definitely a shitcoin. Unless it is in the top 100, right? Then it's a meme coin.
Well, no, we're just sticking with shitcoins. Then we'll move into meme coins.
Okay, so under the top 100, no formal team, no roadmap, and based on some kind of meme or animal. That's a shitcoin.
What if it was a vegetable?
I can say, yeah, that's a meme. Like, because what the fuck do vegetables have to do with crypto? You're only bringing that in because it's funny.
Okay. All right, Ness, go.
Okay, so I agree with all those. It depends on what it was built on top of, right? Like right now, Solana is really hot. There seems to be a ton of liquidity on that chain. But I definitely agree. Yeah, if the team doesn't want to dox itself or at the very least explain who they are, what their roles are, even with just a profile, obviously a red flag because they're not putting any effort into it, right? Mm-hmm. Something as simple as the quality of the website, you know, you can see, again, where certain teams would be putting effort into something, trying to create a use case, you know, things like that is obviously a little bit better than not doing that. And to go back to what I was saying before, tokenomics, that's my biggest indicator. You know, I like fair launch projects. If we're going to look at a meme coin, make sure that the founders or a small group of people doesn't have control of a vast majority of the supply as, you know, they're gonna eventually sell. We're all in this to make money, right? So that's how you keep your eye out for rugs, in my opinion, is the tokenomics more than anything. You know, did they implement whale protection when they first put out the token so that somebody didn't buy up a huge amount of the supply? You know, how did they have a pre-sale? That can be a big issue.
One thing you said in there just kind of clicked in my brain. I think the single definition for me would be if there is no utility other than making money, not even a fake promised one, Like if it is purely to invest and make money trading, then that's what makes it a shitcoin. If there is not a single other utility or use case attached.
Yeah. Yeah. It becomes a slot machine, right? And then, but sometimes people make money with those. If you get in before everyone else and get out when it's doing well, you know, somebody has to win, somebody has to lose, I guess, in those scenarios. But yeah, my big thing is tokenomics, use case, and looking at how it was launched. You know, who owns a majority of the supply? Is it in distribution, you know, fairly? I think that's really, really huge. Or it's honestly, if those things aren't there, it's built to be a rug on purpose because someone's going to rug your ass, right?
Okay, so I've got another curveball to throw out your way. Since, you know, a shitcoin is only just a means to make money, no utility, just animals, whatever. Okay, let's define what money is.
Money's the thing we're trying to make with shitcoins, my guy.
Like, do you guys know what the definition is? Because I don't. I don't even know what it is.
Like, I don't know the definition, but I would say it's a widely agreed upon medium of exchange.
I would say that's the academic definition of it. But, you know, taking that aside, like, I mean, if we're widely agreeing that the United States dollar or the pound or the euro are the medium exchange for whatever respective jurisdiction there is, for whatever commodity that we're trying to exchange for and import or export, at some point, like, what if you took that away? And then what is the US dollar or any of these other fiat currencies?
Like, yeah, I mean, I think Tendermint, the way he answered is what money was originally intended to be, right? It was meant to be a clever way to trade goods and services.
That's a good point.
But it's evolved into something else, right? I'm going to kind of go black pill on this, but it's turned into a means of control and enslavement. You know, it's really, really dark subject. But yeah, we went from this creative way to exchange goods to now it's a control tool.
And maybe Interchain Info could, like, not to say that you guys would, but give a history lesson on or house like a history or document the historical events of how money evolved, you know, and then, like, you know, what it was like in BC all the way up until 2024. We're now on Web3, and here we are. I mean, that would be kind of cool.
We need Eric from Astro Vault to do that one.
Oh man,
he really understands. I guess you could refer to his game theory or whatever, but that guy blows my mind when he talks about currency.
Yeah, but I can actually honestly see Interchain Info, like, how it's become more than just a Wikipedia version for Web3. You know, on so many different levels. I mean, finance in general affects more than just, you know, how we buy or trade, but, like, just overall culturally. And I think that might be a missed opportunity if that wasn't considered for Interchain. Just my opinion, not telling you what to do, but just a thought to kind of let it marinate in your brain.
Hold on, that's so unfair. My audio, like, cut out during the crux.
Oh no.
Yeah, what would be a good...
Okay, I'm not trying to tell you what to do or anything like that, but it's an idea.
No worries.
I'm throwing it out there, but what if Interchain Info was more than just, you know, a Wikipedia, but also, I mean, but like housed or documented, you know, historical events on finances, not just here in the US, but from all around the world. I mean, at the end of the day, finances does more than just affect our day-to-day activities, but culturally as well. You know, like some civilization traded peanuts for goats.
I would say there is nothing technically, nor our mentality and roadmap wise, that is stopping that from that happening. Yeah, at least in some way. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's just my thoughts.
Well, because no, I actually think that's really interesting, because I think if we're all at all right about crypto, apologies if you can hear the background noise. if we're all right about crypto, there is in the future, people are going to look back at the history of crypto and like research, study, all that, with everything going on in the financial market right alongside it as part of it. Because if crypto is money, if it's the new financial system, then anything financial related like is related in a sense. So in that capacity, yeah, just like a log and sort of database of like, here's how finance has evolved over time in general could be incredibly interesting, actually.
No. But we are coming up on the hour, guys. 4 minutes. If you guys, oh man, because I want to poke your brain a little bit more. And if you got time to.
I can spare a little bit more if you can.
Okay. Yeah. No, because instead of not just a, what was the other, because I was trying to remember what the, before Wikipedia, there was Britannica Encyclopedia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Still a thing.
Is this still a thing? I was wondering, like, could you. You know?
Yeah, totally. Okay. I think it's the default like encyclopedia, right. But again, that has, I think that's grown, or Wikipedia has since its initial inception deviated quite a bit from encyclopedia.
Yeah, I what was it? There was a I totally forgot to look into it during this week, but there was something. There was an interview conducted by, I think it was either CBS or ABC News. About like going behind the scenes of who is the largest contributor to Wikipedia, and the way his methodology of conducting his research made me a little nervous, because there's no second or third person to peer review his work, and that kind of made, and it's one of those things that keeps being missed. Because the way he approached, and I vaguely remember that he approached it in a very academic manner. Well, if that was the argument and that was his stance, it's like, who's your peer review then? And, peer review academically helps to ensure accuracy. And I start to wonder if this guy is the biggest contributor to Wikipedia, and he's got none of it has been peer reviewed by anybody. Like, at the end of the day, the human being is a flawed person.
Yeah. I don't know much about that, actually. Say the name again.
One second. I have to find it. It's like.
Or did you not even say?
Yeah, I didn't even get there yet, but I'm looking for it right now. I'll send it over to you and I'll probably mess it.
Yeah.
But it got me a little nervous.
Inherently, I think it's funny. Wikis are maybe somewhat similar to Web3. In that one of their core defining points is like open to all.
Except it's not.
And there are downsides that come with that for sure.
Well, the problem is that's their position.
I don't know, Jevis. Well, actually, first off, is my mic working?
It's working. I can hear you.
Being weird.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, cool. Thanks for the thumbs, Naz. Yeah, I don't know. I'll need to look into that. I don't have any like immediate thoughts or comments, but are you wondering just like how that same kind of thing may play into Interchain Info?
Because they, I mean, again, they say their position or like what they say publicly.
Okay, maybe I can't hear you guys. Maybe that's what's happening. Let me drop and join right back. Yep. This is weird.
All right, we'll give them a second to come back in. I do want to get this last thought out because I know. Let me see if I can't.
Yeah, so you're basically contemplating who's going to be the arbiter of truth.
There you go. Exactly. Because like Wikipedia, they say they're open to all, but they're, I don't know. I have to go back. It's been a while. Hey, Timmy, can you hear me?
Yeah, we're all good now.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, yeah. If you're moving around, that might be the case.
I was a little bit, but stationary now. So
okay, cool. Yeah. No, what I was saying was that Wikipedia does position themselves as open to all, but what does that even mean? Like, can we all contribute, or do we just all have access to the information to what you're already providing us?
Technically, you can all contribute. Wikipedia has diverged a bit from how open and easy it was initially. But do you know like the term Wikia? I think it's actually a company, Wikia, the platform and product. So it's something kind of like WordPress, right? Where people can go and spin up wikis on things. So every TV show you could think of, every movie, every video game, every book, there's a Wikia out there for it. And it is the true definition of a Wikipedia, like how Wikipedia started, where it is truly just passionate community members. There's this, for the larger ones, I think it's probably some level of oversight. There's moderators and such, but and I would actually, I don't have any metrics on this. I would bet you that all of those Wikias combined get around the same amount or more traction than like Wikipedia itself. Just because again, every like piece of media you can think of has a Wikia.
No, absolutely. Let's see. Okay, so we're at the end of our episode, guys. I do want to quickly thank everyone for being here and listening to you. Ness, Timmy, I want to give you guys the last word, and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay, Tim, I just want to say thanks for being here. And one thing you mentioned in a prior podcast was something about the search criteria on AEZ or ICI not having any favoritism. And I really like that idea because it's obviously an issue. Certain media gets pushed and other media gets put at the bottom of the pile. Could you elaborate upon that a little bit before we go?
I'm going to hope that this worked. The very end of your sentence cut out for me. Twitter's just annoying. But there's like a reason, that is the primary reason that we haven't gone the investor route whatsoever. Because I think the core usefulness of ICI or something like it, like, can in theory be completely negated and killed if there's just a single, you know, if we had, like, let's say we got Polychain to invest in us or some VC in Web3, right? We did have some talks at one point, actually. They were on the small side, but still, we realized, like, okay, they're going to want to give special treatment to all of the other things they've invested in. And while we could maybe kind of try and fight that and walk the line, at the end of the day, it just inherently felt like that removes the value that that our platform has in the first place. So we are still thinking about VCs potentially, but if we ever do, it's going to come with a very strict contract that like you are investing in a portion of our revenue and nothing more. Because otherwise I think ICI loses value. I really do.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And that's why I brought that up. I wanted to sneak that in there. Again, thank you for being here, Timmy.
Appreciate that, actually. Yeah, that's a good point we like to echo. Yeah, my only ending note would be check out ICI. Use it. You keep it in mind for when you're trying to onboard people, whether they're new to crypto in general or like just a new ecosystem, you know, bringing someone from Ethereum over here. And use it to help support your favorite project, your own project. My other big piece is like every team and dev says this, genuinely so incredibly open to feedback, even if it's harsh, so long as it's constructive criticism. We want this to be the best website possible for the people using it. So what you guys see, whether it's something missing, something that's annoying and too much friction, don't know how long it'll be till we can get to it, but let us know.
All right. And for anybody, you guys can visit interchaininfo.zone. That's interchaininfo.zone, and share it with your community members, show your projects, and give Timmy a follow along with Interchain Info here in the space as well. And other than that, we'll see you guys next time. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living, selling friendship bracelets. sits dead ends, dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known a politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss. And I'm liking the odds, fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality, stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works. And we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lay stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few Z's, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats. And if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality, stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works. And we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Ten Spaces.